Well, good morning, boys. Good to hear you. That's just a blessing that him, this is my Father's world. This is my Father's world, and speaking of the blessing of what he has created for his own pleasure and for us to enjoy and to raise our spirits and give us strength and courage here in this world. This journey toward where Jesus is. Do you have any prayer requests for us this morning, boys?
Floyd and Jessica.
Okay, Floyd and Jessica, just them?
And everybody that went to Guatemala.
Okay.
Our church.
Okay, yeah, just a second here. This morning, the brethren in Mexico are in Guatemala, with the people in Guatemala, visiting them. And we're thankful that could happen and they could go there to encourage the Guatemalan brethren. And Floyd and Jessica are along, and it's eight of the brethren. And so you said our church, right? What you did, yeah. And Chris Eyrick, okay, let's pray for Chris, wherever he is. Boys, do you think of any other? Well, let's just pray then. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness and for bringing us together as a fellowship again this morning to worship you and to speak often one to another and to assemble ourselves together and later to have the Lord's Supper together. Just thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, protecting us this week, answering our prayers, bringing Brother David back safely from Peru, and blessing the brethren in Mexico, traveling to Guatemala. Bless them, we pray this morning, Floyd and Jessica and everybody. Floyd and Jessica in their new marriage, give them strength. And pray for Chris Iron. Pray for our church to bless each of us, that we continue to learn together. And Lord, we thank you now. In Jesus' worthy name, amen. Well, I welcome to our visitors, everybody. Okay, boys. Can anyone tell me the chapter we're ready for? In the Psalm? The Psalm, rather. What song are we ready for, Sylvester? I think I'll figure it out before too long, or you help me. We're ready for 64. Is that the numbered 64 in the Septuagint, which we're reading out of, and 65 in the King James? Okay. Well, this really sounds like this really looks here like a praise psalm. It's kind of like we were singing this morning at Maltby Babcock's song that This Is My Father's World. It says on the top there, a psalm by David, an ode, remember, ode to joy. Sung by Jeremiah and Ezekiel regarding the situation of the sojourners when they were about to depart. Verse 1. It is fitting to sing a hymn to you in Zion, O God, and a vow shall be rendered to you in Jerusalem. Hear my prayer. To you all flesh shall come. The words of lawless men overpowered us. And you will show mercy to our ungodliness. Blessed is he whom you choose and help. He shall dwell in your courts. We shall be filled with the good things of your house. Holy is your temple, wondrous in righteousness. Hear us, O God, our Savior. The hope of all the ends of the earth and of those far off at sea. He who prepares mountains in his strength, who is girded with power, who troubles the depth of the sea, the sounds of its waves, the nations shall be troubled, and those who inhabit the ends of the earth shall be afraid because of your signs. You shall gladden the outgoings of the morning and evening. You visited the earth and watered it. You enriched it abundantly. The river of God is filled with waters. You prepared their food, for thus is your preparation thereof. Water its furrows, multiply its fruits. With its raindrops, the earth will be gladdened when it produces fruits. You will bless the crown of the year with your goodness, and your fields will be filled with fatness. The desert fruits will be made fat, and the hills will be girded with rejoicing. The rams of the sheep are clothed with wool, and the valleys shall abound in wheat. They will shout and truly sing hymns. Does that sound like just mumbling along and letting the rest of the congregation drag you along in singing a hymn there? It says, they will shout and truly sing hymns, not just mumbling along and being swept along by the rest, but truly singing hymns. Remember that to sing good with a group of people starts out with you singing by yourself, knowing how to sing a hymn to God. It is fitting to sing a hymn to you in Zion, O God. That's how he starts out. And he ends up with that thought, too. Why is it fitting to sing a hymn to God? Sylvester, you want to start with a thought, and all of you give a little thought there. Why is it fitting to sing a hymn to God in Zion? I would like to say, in the midst of the church, Zion. Why is it fitting to sing to God? Why should we? Did he do anything for us?
He died for us and he's worthy to be praised.
Who died for us? Jesus. He sent his son to die for us. You have a thought, Sylvester? Why? Did he give us anything? You have anything? You boys?
He created us.
Okay, just a second.
Because he loves us.
He loves us.
He created us and is merciful to us when we do wrong.
Yes, yes. He created us and he's merciful to us when we do wrong. God. You have your left. Clayton, do you think of why we should maybe sing to God? Does he send us anything? Does he give us anything? Has he done anything else for us? Lives. Our lives. Is that what you said? Gave us lives. Lives to live. A life. A life to live for him. He gave it to us. We get to do it. We get to be here. We get to serve God. To serve the best master or king or lord there ever could be. Fruitful seasons. He sends rain and fruitful everything. Yeah. Clayton, do you have something? Well, it says here, you could look down. You could look down through. There's Roger's thought. In verse 4, and you will show mercy to our ungodliness. If we fail and are not like God sometimes, He has shown mercy to us and shows mercy to us as we learn to be like Him. Wow. That's verse 7, He who prepares mountains in His strength, who is girded with power. He keeps us safe, doesn't He? From so many things that happen. And near accidents. And what about when we're sick, Clayton? What about when we're sick? He heals us. Very good. Well, anything else? Any of you had a last minute thing? Okay. Sister Carol. All right. God bless you, sister. Well, certainly God is good and is worthy of us singing a hymn to Him. All right. You boys have something prepared that Brother Wilbur told you to share. What did he tell you to look up? Words or the tongue, yes. Verses about those things. And are you allowed to look in your book and or your paper or whatever? All right, Roger, why don't you stand up? And about the tongue. See, last Sunday's chapter, the psalm, was about the tongue of the evildoers and all. So it was a good assignment for you. So Roger's going to go ahead and...
Life and death are in the hand of a tongue, and those who rule over it will eat the fruit thereof.
Where's that found?
Proverbs 18:21.
All right.
Jeremiah 9:7-8. Their tongue is a wounding arrow, and the words of their mouth are deceitful. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor, but has hatred in his heart. Shall I not visit them for these things? Shall not my soul take vengeance on such people as this?
Oh, did you have the reference there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
James 3:6. And the tongue is a fire. The very world of iniquity.
Matthew 12:37. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned.
Matthew 12:36. But every man shall get, or for every idle word that men shall speak shall be given account thereof in the day of judgment.
Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver.
That's good. All right, well, let's guard our tongues and let's control that fire. Let's not be starting fires other than what the simple truth of God's word spoken by our mouth could do. God bless you, boys, as you be careful with your tongues. And now I'd like to assign you something for next week. Maybe one of you brethren had a thought this morning of an assignment for them. I thought it'd be fitting for them to sing in hymn. I'm gonna think of a hymn for you to learn, and we'll try to tell you a little bit later. And come prepared with next Sunday, Lord willing. Okay, you can go back. And we're going to ask the older boys to fulfill their assignment here. I think it has to do with examples of people in the past and how they used their tongue. And thoughts about that or whatever. Is that more or less... Here.
2 Kings 16, verse 5. Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man coming from there from the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. As he came out, he was cursing continuously, casting stones at David and at all the servants of David, and at all the people and all the mighty men out on the right and on the left.
Is he allowed to use his Bible? Okay.
It's in Acts 7, about where Stephen is preaching to a multitude of people, and he's just talking to him. That's how he was using his tongue, preaching to him.
I just had Kevin hired a new boy, and he'd been working about 5 days, and one day I asked him how his day went, and he said, "Not very good." And he just told me that he wasn't paying attention and he broke some stuff. He was just real honest. And I just appreciated him right away after that. It's always good to say the truth, even if you don't want to. I had the brothers of Joseph. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him and could not speak civilly to him. I just thought about how often attitudes towards people influence the way we speak. And instead of learning from them, we often speak harshly.
I had learned Paul wanted to talk to Caesar. And he spoke the words of Christ to him.
In a Pathway Reader, there's a story about this person, Serge George was his name, and I slept in, and he was in a hurry, and couldn't find these socks, and so he shouted to his wife to help him find them, and then she got kind of upset, and then she showed that the cook kind of that the porridge wasn't very good that morning, and then when the cook wanted to wash the floors, she shouted at the person that was supposed to heat the water for her, and then the little boy wanted to go fishing with his friend, and so he came in and asked his mother if he could, and his mother said no, so he, when he was going out, the cat was trying to come in. And he tripped on it and got mad at it and threw rocks at it. So.
I had in Deuteronomy 1, Moses talks about the 10 spies that went into Canaan to explore the land. And Joshua and Caleb came out and said, yeah, it's good, and they should go up and do it. And the rest said, no way, there's no way we can do it. And we're like grasshoppers to everybody. And so they influenced everybody, and then God said they couldn't go up. And only Joshua and Caleb and their children went up.
I read a story one time. It was about one of the, it was the first martyr, the drummer that was, whatever, was drumming the beats or whatever, was up there, and he didn't want to drum it. And the priest or whatever was saying how this guy was doing all wrong. He was doing all wrong. But the drummer saw how peaceful he was. And he made a speech saying, this man's true and right, and you priests are the bad guys, and this guy here is good for dying. And then later he became an Anabaptist. And I just thought that was neat. He used his tongue to save another guy. Mm.